Begin transmission.
You are listening to Corellian Run Radio, your route through hyperspace to the latest news on Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Hi, and welcome to Corellian Run Radio. This is episode number 56, and we are recording on Monday, May the 14th, 2012. And I do believe, I looked at a calendar, and we're really recording on May the 14th. I got the dates all messed up last time. So, anyway, it is with great sadness that Deirdre cannot be with us. She lost her grandfather. Our thoughts and prayers are with her and her family. And I want you to welcome Mayor. She is going to be sitting in for Deirdre this week. And hello, Mayor.
Hello, Carla. How are you today?
I tell you what, I'm doing pretty doggone good. I am been fighting with trying to get this Mac to record like my old PC did, and it just doesn't have it in it. So I want to apologize to everybody up front if our audio quality is not of the same caliber. It's because my mixer and all of that doesn't seem to want to work well with my Mac. So I'm using GarageBand, if any of you are familiar with that, and it is fighting me tooth and nail. So, anyway, so how was your week?
My week has been good so far. Well, it's good.
Do anything exciting over the weekend?
I did not, and I want you to know my dogs didn't do anything special for Mother's Day or anything.
Well, I know, but weren't you busy Saturday?
Oh, yeah, we had that, we had a local cleanup in our area. We do cleaning up, and I was doing the registration and helping with the coordinating of that.
When you say cleanup, do you do like the people take parts of the road or streets or what?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like it when communities pull together and everybody, we have it here in Texas, it's called like adopt a highway or adopt a section of the highway over here. Yeah. And that's hard work.
Yes, it is. And we do that as well. We have that as well. But this is just like some of the streets where people like will take their, I mean, one location alone, I think, had like 56 shopping carts from Walmarts and Albertsons. And
oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. It was interesting.
Oh, wow. Well, I didn't do too much of anything. The kiddos all called me for Mother's Day, and I just chilled. But I did make this outstanding blueberry French toast casserole for my mother-in-law on Sunday morning. I had to make it the day before and let it soak overnight and do all that kind of stuff. And it turned out so wonderful and yummy. I just loved it. And especially the colors that the blueberries, and they're all fresh and... Yeah, it was really good. And so I had a nice, relaxing day yesterday and didn't really do too much of anything. But we didn't record yesterday, which we typically would, because we were all taking the day off.
We did.
All righty. Well, it's time for our host challenge.
Fact.
You know it to be true.
Or fiction.
That's impossible.
Alrighty, I'm going to read three bits of information or three leads about the game. Two of them will be made up or not yet confirmed by BioWare. Only one will be a confirmed fact. Your job is to pick out which one is true. You ready?
Ready.
Alrighty. Lead number one, augment tables are being introduced in the first official podcast, but will not be available in 1.3. Lead number two, some gear will morph its armor rating based on the skill of its wearer in 1.3. Lead number three, the only way to get augment kit schematics in 1.3 is by reverse engineering items. So, after hearing all three leads, which one do you think is the confirmed fact?
Well, I know that the gear is going to morph. It's going to morph according to the armor rating. I know I read that or heard that or both. So I know that one's true. The other two are kind of misleading, But I think they talked in the podcast that the augment tables are going to be released in 1.3. And I think you get those schematics at vendors, not by reverse engineering. So I'm going to go with 2.
Man, I can't fool you at all. You're right on top of things, girl.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Alrighty, well, I guess that'll take us to the latest news and tour.
From the NewsNet and beyond.
And we've got some exciting news happening this week. First up, the community Q&A that usually happens once a week is going to go to 2 weeks. So the next one is not going to be this week on the 18th. Instead, it's going to be next week on the 25th. So that's going to, they're going to add an extra week in there so they have more time to have more questions come in and get those answers ready for us. So that's one of the things that's happening.
You know, when I read that they were going to every 2 weeks, I had to giggle. I was like, it's going to take you 2 weeks to answer a few questions. I mean, I was like, come on. You know, what is so hard about answering the question? But in their defense, they're trying not to duplicate questions, because one of the biggest complaints about the community Q&A was they kept taking some of the same questions, even though they may have been asked in a slightly different way. It's still the same question, and they were answering it every week or every other week or whatever. So they're trying not to duplicate questions and or answers, but I would just say take less questions and only do 5 questions or whatever so that you can continue to do it weekly, because I look forward to this article. I mean, I love the community Q&A because you never know what you're going to find in the Q&A. I mean, they come up with some of the best questions and therefore the best answers, you know, and I don't want to wait 2 weeks. I'm being selfish.
I read it now and then. I'm not probably as faithful as you are. So it's not going to break my heart if they go 2 weeks. It does make me wonder why they're going to 2 weeks. I'm guessing that, like you said, they're getting too many of the same questions. So I guess they're hoping that if they go longer in between, they'll get more variety of questions in the Q&A.
I don't know. Is it the variety or, you know, is it, you know, they kind of explained it that it would give them a time to get to the right person to answer the questions and that sort of thing. I just don't think it should take that long. And again, that probably goes back to that, oh, everybody wants everything instant. Well, I'm willing to wait a week. It's not like I want it instant, but I kind of liked it being weekly. Yeah.
You're willing to wait a whole
week. I mean, how hard can it be to ask 5 or 6 questions and get them answered in a whole week?
Yeah, and if they dropped the number of questions, that would work too. So they may go back to that, but let's see how they handle this every 2 week thing.
Yeah, we'll see. But in the Q&A today, though, there was a couple of really interesting things that I thought was kind of exciting. It, you know, like I said, you never know what little tidbits you're going to glean from the Q&A, especially when they don't duplicate the questions. No. So, you know, I think everybody should take an opportunity to read this. Gabe Amontongello had some great stuff on PvP in this one. David Hunt was answering a few questions as well. And I think I even saw Daniel Erickson in there somewhere. So, I suggest you all go out and read it. Alrighty, let's see. That takes us to, we're kind of doing this a little out of order because we took this in date order, but in the official podcast number one that was released, Damian Schubert and Daniel Erickson were both on this official podcast. And in the official podcast, they talked about augment tables that are coming in 1.3. These augment tables, so that we can explain it to you as we understand it, as you let's back up a step. As you know, in 1.2, crafters were given the ability to make crafting gear or crafted gear that you could proc or crit on and get an augmented slot in that gear. And that pushed the crafters' gear and what they could make back up there to being some of the best stuff in the game, because everybody wants that additional slot because it gives you additional values and skills or whatever, like crit or, you know, whatever your augment is. So that was pretty exciting for our crafters. Well, now in 1.3, what they were talking about is augmented tables. And what that is essentially going to do is allow crafters to make an augment kit. This kit can be taken to an augmented table or an augment table, and along with credits, and anybody can add an augment slot to any piece of gear. For example, if you are in black hole gear and you want an augment slot in that gear, now you know with 1.3, when it comes in, you're going to be able to do that. According to I had to go to the dev tracker to look at some answers to some of the questions that people have had about this. And first of all, the recipe is going to be available from a crew skill your crew skill vendors. I'm not quite sure which craft, if not multiple crafts, are going to be able to do the augment kit. If any of you know exactly, it would be great to hear from you. But I would assume it would be like synth weavers and armor craftsmen and your weapons crafting, you know, even I would think biochem, because we do implants. I mean, I would think that we can all make the kits if we go by the schematic, but that part is still unclear to me. Did you see anything on that?
No. I looked, because I was really curious about this too, because it would be really not fun if, say, one craft gets it and the rest of us have to go to that craft, because that's just going to unbalance it. So I'm hoping it will be all of us. I don't have too many things that I make that have slots, except for the lightsabers, of course, because I'm artificing. But I'm hoping it's going to be all of the crafters that make any gear that has a slot that will be able to buy that schematic and then make those crafts for the particular gear that we need them for. So if I've made a lightsaber for somebody and they want to come back and get that kit for me to add an augment slot, I can make that kit for them, and then they can go take it and add it to their, because they'd have to be the ones that add it once they've equipped it. So I can envision that happening, where they would come to me and I would make the kit for them, and then they can add that slot to their lightsaber. So that's, my fingers are crossed for that.
You know, I'm torn as to how I feel about this, and I'll tell you why. I am a crafter. I love crafting in any game. I especially love it in this game because I can send my companions off and let them do the work, and I get the credit. You know, I mean, I love it. So I can just, you know, get them to make items, or I can get them to go, you know, get me some supplies to make the items with or whatever. I really like the crafting in this game.
I do too.
I am just a little concerned that we went, you know, 1.2 put us back on the map because crafting suffered such a nerf. We went from pre-release of the game being told that crafting gear will always be, or they didn't use the word always, but will be, so one can assume always, some of the best gear in the game. Then, when the game hit, you know, we found out it wasn't. You know, you could get better gear at just by doing heroics and operations and all of that. I mean, our gear just got people ready to do heroics, and then we're left behind, you know. And so 1.2 kind of elevated us back up, you know, to where, oh, we can make augmented gear, and no other gear has that. So we're doing really well. You know, we can compete, okay? Now we're going to be able to make a kit. And I'm having trouble, you know, visualizing that kit is really a crafted item. I mean, yeah, you got to craft the kit, but it's not a crafted item. It's not like an armor piece, or it's not like a lightsaber or an implant. It's a piece of that. And so it's really going back to that original thing, statement that crafters were going to be able to make some of the best gear in the game, you know, or items in the game. I don't know how I feel about the augment slot, because if you take it away from the crafters being the only ones that can make the augmented items and give it to where they just make a kit and everybody can put it in the good items, nobody's going to want the crafted items anymore. Because they're not as... Yes, that's what they said. You're going to be able to take that kit and take your gear that you got from ricotta pieces or Columai pieces or whatever, and you can augment them by putting a kit in it if you go to that table and pay credits. You got to have the kit, and you got to have credits, and you got to be at that table. But you're going to be able to augment your items that you get from PvP or, you know, anywhere. Any piece of armor, you're going to be able to put an augment slot in it. So, with that kit. So, it's back to, why would I buy a crafted piece? You know, I just got to where people wanted my crafted piece. Now, they don't want it anymore.
Yeah,
they just want my kit.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, so I don't know how I feel about that. How do you feel about that?
I honestly was thinking it was going to be for the crafted. I didn't even figure it was going to be for the tier gear. I really didn't go there. So I guess I didn't read it.
Well, I mean, it's not that we read it anywhere. It's that what they talked about in the podcast was that you were going to be able to add it to any gear. And see, we wouldn't need to add it to our crafted gear because that's what we're critting on.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's what made our gear special. I did like, changing the subject slightly, I did like where they said that the augments, the kits, are going to be level tiered. In other words, are going to be tiered to where, you know, it'll be with, you know, whatever level that you are. So that's kind of cool.
That's good. I love it when things scale.
Yeah, I do too, when it works.
Yeah.
So exactly. I really like that. Well, that's really all I have on the augment slot. I'm concerned about it though.
Well, yeah, that's something we need to keep an eye on, I guess, and see where it goes. I think the other thing that came out of that podcast that I found was interesting is the adaptive gear. They talked quite a bit about they referenced the tank and a bikini if you want to. But being able to take your social gear and have it go into exactly what you want it to be.
You know what I the, when I heard them say that on the podcast, the first thing that flashed into my mind was the bolstered PvP. You know, because this is sort of bolstered equipment or bolstered armor, you know. I mean, sort of. I mean, kinda. It's they're saying that it's morphed. Well, morphing and bolstering, it kind of mean the same thing in a, you know, similar way. So I'm just really confused by this whole adaptive gear thing. I mean, and I don't mind saying it. Why? That's the question. Why?
I think it goes, Carla, I think it has to do with the fact that people are wanting some different looks. And I think this is, you know, I mean, that's been one of my songs I've been singing in my column off and on for months now is about the gear and how it looks. And I think this is just one of the ways they're trying to find of allowing people to have that gear and have it look like what they want it to be. My question would be, like somebody who's like right now, I'm not in full ricotta, but I'm in full column night gear.
Right.
And I hate the way it looks.
Right.
So I'm running out and I'm trying on all of these little social pieces that I'm going to take the chest piece mods out and put into whatever social thing I use for a different look. But at the same time, I'm not going to lose my 4-set bonus because I've got five column night pieces right now. So the look will be whatever I end up with. And I'm wondering if they're talking about taking the whole set and having that whole look be moddable like that. That's what it sounds like. So that technically you can have all these little slave girls out there tanking these bosses, I guess.
Well, I mean, I'm all for people being able to have their own look because I'm one of those that... You know, that is the one thing. Did you ever play Ion?
I did briefly.
That is one of the things that I absolutely loved about Ion more than any other feature in any other game that I've ever played. And that was the fact they had the very best moddable type appearance for their gear ever, ever. Okay, what you could do is you could take a piece like the bikini, you know, the slave girl outfit, and you could take your ricotta gear or your Columai gear, and you could take it to a vendor, pay a certain price, and it could transfer all of the skills, stats, armor rating, everything from that ricotta piece and put it on that slave girl outfit. Okay, so you could have the look. No two people looked alike. Because we were able to dye our equipment and all of that. So I guess what I'm saying is this may be the first step in something more in-depth for our armor. And if so, I'm kind of excited about it. But when they say that it's being morphed, for example, as we all know, the social gear is light armor. All right? All the pieces that you can find on every vendor or we collect, like the Rackle event, all of those pieces, light armor. Okay?
Yeah.
And as I understand it, that gear is going to be able to be morphed in, you know, its armor rating based on my skill. But will it? Because I don't know if you caught this in the podcast. But they said, and I will quote, some gear will morph its armor rating based on the skill of its wearer. Okay? I have several concerns. One, will the morphing really work as intended as far as, why not just say, if you own a piece of light gear, you have the opportunity to change it to... medium or heavy, if that's what you needed. Because that's what I want to do. Is I don't want it to be light gear. I want it to be medium because I play an Imperial Agent.
Right.
Okay? Why not let us do that? The next thing that I'm concerned about is the fact that will the morphing actually work with my skills? In other words, I'm not overly impressed with the bolstering system in PvP because I don't believe it really makes me an equal to everybody if I'm of a lower level. And so will this morphing actually make my armor rating as good as it would be if my piece stayed the same as what it was before I morphed it?
And that's a good point.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I give BioWare a lot of credit, and they've done a lot of really good things. But I'm just concerned. When I heard the word morphing, all I could think about was the bolstering system in PvP because it didn't fit right. You know, if you go in at a low level and you're fighting against level 49, you really don't stand a chance. You know, so is my armor, because it's originally a light piece of armor, really going to be medium it to its full advantages and full effects? You know, I mean, I just don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, we're going to find out when 1.3 comes out.
Yeah, I hope it's a step in the right direction for us being able to adapt our gear to just any look we want to look, because I think that's part of, people like to be individuals, and the one thing that this game has not allowed us to do is look different. We can't dye our gear. We all look the same. I mean, if you look at an Imperial agent, we all look the same. I have a hide, my helm, but that doesn't do a doggone thing with that stupid hood on my chest piece.
Well, you know, I've been singing the fashion song all along because I want color, and I'm just, it's like, and I even said this in my article this last week, that I really wish somebody'd give them the 120 box of crayons and take out all the blacks and grays and browns and let them play with all the other colors in that box. Because I'm so tired of just black and gray and silver. And it's just like, really? Come on. What if I want to be bright, bright fire engine red? What if I want to be, you know, I don't have those options. My gear, and not only that, my column night gear makes me look fat. So I am searching for something that will give me something fun. And I'm hoping this adaptive gear is gonna be the answer to that for me, because I am just like such a little fashion queen.
Well, I understand that, but are you truly going to wear a slave outfit?
No, not me.
Exactly. I mean, the only one that wears... Y'all don't... Okay, all you guys out there, don't beat us up. But I bet you most of the people that wear those slave outfits are men.
Oh, yeah, the guys... It's going to be the
guys... Oh, no, female character, by the way, because they only play female characters, and they give you some song and dance about, well, I'd rather look at her butt.
But I definitely do not want the slave girl outfit for me, but I want something different, and I want to be able to look different, and I'd really like to pick my colors, or at least have more colors available to me. And I get where they're coming from, but it's like, come on, you've established this, and I said this before, you've established this in the lore, Queen Amidala. Okay, granted, it's 3,000 years in the future, but so what? She had all these fabulous outfits. I want those.
No kidding. And the makeup. And the makeup.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, like you said, that this adaptive gear is just their first little step towards giving us some of that.
Okay, BioWare. Mayor and I are offering our fashion tips and consultation. We know what women want.
And help you pick things out. And say, no, this color, no, not that color. I would happily help you do that.
Oh, Lord. What a mess. Okay, well, moving on. That takes us to the official first podcast. Number one, released by BioWare. Come to find out, the other one was just a pilot. just a teaser. So I thought that was the first one. So, anyway, BioWare released a podcast last week. And of course, it is our terrific Eric Musco and Brooks Guthrie. And they're terrific people. I love hearing them on a podcast. I've missed them. And so every time I hear it, I think wonderful things about those two guys and how they came from the lowly podcast community. And now they're big time in BioWare. So, but with that said, I'm still kind of freaking out that they're having their podcast. I'm kind of like, what about us? What about us?
Yeah, there's a lot of podcasts in the community.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, they should have all of the podcasts come on there as guest hosts.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, well. Anyway, y'all need to go listen to it. It was about 25 minutes long, really good. They had the 3Ds on there. They had Damian Schubert. They had Daniel the Abs Erickson. Yes, I have to say that. And he did his podcast voice. And then they had David Bass. And so it was a really good podcast. Go listen. Well, that brings us down to our personal playtime. What have you been doing?
Mostly anything? Hanging out and working on the world bosses for the speeder.
I know. Isn't that an exciting quest chain?
That is fun.
Okay, but I do have
especially
to...
Especially now that they fixed the nightmare boss, which was not fun.
Well, you know, I really have a problem.
Not be able to do it, but they did fix it.
But so. I really have a problem with it that it's too long between the spawn times.
Yeah, I agree. They need to
I mean, either time. Put it on a time schedule so we can go there and do the boss, or shorten the time. You know, yeah, because we're still have several groups. Like for example, last night we had too many people that wanted to do that event and they couldn't all get in there and get it done. So
that's going to be an interesting fight, and I'll be glad when we actually get to the right makeup and everything to do that, because it
the
sounds
nightmare.
Like it's going to be almost like a little mini raid boss. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I can't wait to try that one. We're going to try it this week, aren't we? Isn't it this
I
week?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's on our schedule.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Well, have you been doing anything else?
Not really. What have you been doing? You've been crafting, I know that.
I have been crafting. I took
As
my
you
little
waiting for me to get my, my
banana. I have my little baby Sith, and yes, even after 2 weeks, she's still only level 28. Okay, sorry, I just haven't. But in my defense, I've been working on crafting and sending my companions out to build up my archaeology and my underworld trading and my synth weaving. And so I've just passed the planet level because, see, I was kind of behind. So now I'm right at the planet level. So I'm trying to get a little bit ahead so that when I go to the next planet, because I tend to out-level planets.
Right.
So I'm hoping to get a little bit ahead in the gathering skills and my actual synth weaving. And I'm actually trying to get it to where I can make stuff that I can wear. So because I am playing the sorcerer.
Right. That'll be nice. That'll be really nice. And in your defense, part of that is you've been waiting for me. And in my defense, I've been in finals and everything because it's the end of the semester. So I've had a lot of finals to grade and give and stuff like that. So you've kind of been abandoned while I actually go do real world stuff.
Yes, I know. But that's okay. I paused for a moment because if I had not, I muted my mic. I have this really loud train that was coming through as we were doing our podcast.
Okay, she has no comment to the fact that I have abandoned her.
She didn't abandon me, but I was a little distracted by trying to prevent the train noises. from coming by, living in the country, okay? They come by and they just make all this noise. And anyway, I don't feel abandoned. We both have been kind of stretched kind of thin and going in different directions and that sort of thing. So you know me, I don't mind waiting on you. So I don't feel abandoned at all. And I am enjoying my crafting. So because I told y'all I love to craft. So. Yep. I'm having a good time with it, but that's really kind of it. I've been playing my Imperial Agent and making stuff for people, and I've been doing crafting on her because she does biochem, and so I've been making implants, and what I've been trying to do is go back and reverse engineer, make a bunch, reverse engineer a bunch, and to see if I can get more purple patterns or schematics and stuff to make some really good implants, and I've got a pretty good collection. Not as well as I want it to be, but I'm working on it.
Well, I'm raiding still. I shouldn't say that I'm not doing anything else because I still raid. I still have my wonderful ops group that I raid with.
Right.
But that's like not anything new.
Well, we took a week off because two people on our, they're married, wonderful couple that is on our raid team or operations team, that their family came in for the week, and so we took a week off, and so I'm really looking forward to getting back to doing a raid this week because that's what I like to do.
You almost got to go with us.
I almost got to go. Oh, I was so disappointed. I wanted so bad to go. And then if it had been 5 minutes before, what happened, guys, is I was, I told Mayor, I said, hey, if y'all need a healer for your ops group, just holler at me. I'd be glad to go. And so I waited around 20, 30 minutes, and I didn't get an invite. So, somebody said, well, we need a healer for a hard mode. And I go, okay, well, I'll do that, because I like helping people, you know. It wasn't some place I really wanted to go, but it's okay. I like helping people. And I no sooner said okay, the mayor goes, psst, you busy? We need a healer. And I'm going, damn you.
Yeah. And part of that was my fault because I should have said something to him up front. But I'm so used to the other healer always being there. The two of us are just always there. So it didn't cross my mind. And we're chit-chatting. And pretty soon I look at the clock and I'm like, oh, she's not here. Do you want Carla? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Waited Bad too timing. Long. That's all right. Wasn't meant to be. Well, that's takes us to our quick mentions.
Yes, it does. The next patch is set for May 15th. And I believe that's going to be a maintenance patch. That is tomorrow is Tuesday, since we're recording on Monday. I don't know when our podcast is going to hit, but May 15th is the next patch. And you can also go to the Corellian Run website and take a look at this week's articles. We've got the operation information pre-ops checklist by the Fabulous Ghost. Make sure you read those. He's got some really very well done tips that make raiding such an interesting thing and probably easier for those who may or may not be new to raiding. So I really enjoy reading those articles. And we, of course, have the always fabulous HoloNet links and Guild Checkpoint. This last week, he did it on the Demonic Sith Lords, which was an excellent article, as always, and a good interview. And last week was my top 10 wish list. And this week coming up, I'm going to be talking about merging server mergers. So that is going to be the article for the week of the 14th. And that'll be coming out on the 15th as well.
All right.
That's what's happening on Corellian Run.
Perfect. Well, up next is our Sith or Jedi Challenge.
Sith. Strong am I with the Force.
Or Jedi.
Well, last time out, both Deirdre and you, Miss Carla, chose the dark side when it comes to getting your computer fixed. I can totally understand where that one was. So far, your scores stand at Carla, -7, and Deirdre, -1. Now, keep in mind, everybody, that the negative scores reflect a dark side tendency, while the positive scores reflect a light side tendency. And you can tell that both of our hosts here are over on the dark side right now. So this is the new one for this week. It's called Test of the Bad Cashier. You've just finished your grocery shopping, and you find a line to check out that isn't too long. You start to unload your groceries on the belt, and you hand the cashier your earth-friendly bags to load the groceries in, and the cashier makes this heavy sigh of disgust and takes the bags. You smile and try to make light chatter as you group your items for bagging. Every time you would move an item, she would overreact as if you've interrupted her when you weren't even close to the items she's working with. No matter what you do to lighten the mood, she wasn't having any of it. Do you, 1, pay for your groceries and tell the cashier to have a wonderful day as you leave? 2, ignore the situation, pay for your groceries and leave? Or 3, pay for your groceries, sarcastically tell the cashier to have a nice day, and then go find a supervisor and tell her how horrible the cashier was?
3.
Yeah, me too.
3. I mean, I had this happen. I mean, my husband and I went out on Saturday and bought a few groceries, and it wasn't really a lot. And I mean, we only brought in four of our recyclable bags, you know, because I like to try to do my little part for the environment.
Green.
That's right.
Yes.
And, oh my gosh, she was so rude. I mean, everything. I mean, when she took the bags, it was literally yanking them out of my hands and just going, you know, and just giving you that, like, roll your eyes look, and like, she's so disgusted. And I thought, my, she's having a bad day, so I'll try to be nice and lighten the day, you know, because I was in a good mood. Normally, I wouldn't care, but I was trying to be nice. And no matter what I did to try to draw her out and little fine talk and whatever, she was just like not having it. And I asked her, you know, are you working tomorrow on Mother's Day? If, you know, do you have kids? And, you know, anything I would say to try to drag her out and try to change it into a positive to get her talking about something exciting, she wouldn't have none of it.
Uh-oh.
And then I was seeing the very next little cashier. She was bubbly, and she was smiling and happy, and she would say, oh, you don't have that? I'll help you do this. And I'm thinking, why can't I swap aisles? And that's what I told the supervisor. I said, you know, you've got 1 at 14. I think you need to give that little girl a raise, and you need to fire the other one. I was really upset by the time that we got through, and we didn't have that many items.
But things like that can just so bring you down when you're off in your own little world and you're having a good time and you run into somebody that's supposed to be in customer service. I mean, they're supposed to be nice. That's part of what they're getting paid for.
Right.
And so, yeah, I don't blame you. I'd go to the cashier too. I almost always go to the same cashier because, you know, I live in a relatively smallish town. So I know some of the people there. So I have certain cashiers I'll go to. And what gets me about the ones that I'm not used to going to, they don't know how to bag things at all. They just overload everything. So I'm sitting there taking stuff out while they're loading things and rearranging all the bags. And it really drives them nuts. And I don't care because I want to be able to get the bag from the trunk of my car to the door without having it split. So that's my pet peeve with cashiers. So I would totally have gone to the supervisor too. I agree with you. You can read all of the past Seth the Jedi tests on our site at KarelianRun.com. So keep your own score, see which way you lean. I'm in the minus column. I think I'm like at 3 or 4.
No, you'll have to figure that out and we'll have to put it on our page. So just let me know. Okay, well, that sound means it's time for our community buzz, where we take a look at what the fans are talking about. To PTR or not to PTR? And if you don't know what PTR is, that is the public test realm. The reason for this particular question is, because we have, you know, I went to look at the PTR to see, you know, if they had the 1.3 update on there, or if they had anything exciting that we were going to need to test, because I occasionally log on there. I'm not a, you know, one that would religiously play over on the PTR, but when I know something cool is coming, I'll go over there to check it out so I can see if there's something that first of all, I try to break it. In other words, I try to see if there's something that I'm doing that will make it not work so I can report it so it can get fixed before it goes live. You know, I feel that's part of my job, you know, and not my job personally, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
And I went over there, and one of the things that I noted right away was there was no posts. And I was like, why are there no posts? Isn't there not anybody testing? And the PTR was closed. I mean, the forums for it was closed. I haven't tried logging into the actual PTR, but the actual forums section was closed. So I thought, well, that's kind of strange. Why would they not have this open? And the message said the PTS, I call it PTR realm. Sorry, it should be PTS for server. It says it's closed. We will reopen with a new update when it is available on the public test server. Watch for stickies when the new patch notes are available. And so then it got me curious as to why all of the patches would not be up on the public test server. And I found a post by Allison Berryman that basically stated, let me get to it really quick. At this time, she said, we are not using the PTS to test patches deployed during weekly maintenance, but we will continue to use the test to use it to test the larger updates, such as the upcoming 1.3. When we update the PTS, it is very useful for us to have players submit bug reports in-game and on the forums, which will open up when we deploy on that server. In the meantime, if you encounter a bug in the game on the live servers, we encourage you to submit it. The developers do receive these bugs, and your reports help. I started looking at these pages of posts. There's only 6 pages of posts, but the more I read, the more I it made me wonder why they're not putting this on test like other games do. I mean, most of the games that I have played have put patches on their public test server and tested it the week before it's launched. So if there are any bugs or issues, they can be found, fixed, and everything before the patch goes live. And sometimes they have to delay a patch until they get everything fixed that the testers have found. And so I got to reading these posts, and people were kind of appalled that it wasn't going to be on the public test server. And so Allison Berryman replied again. She says, we do test all of our patches internally before they reach the live servers and always work to catch issues before they go out. We know it can be frustrating when an issue does reach the live servers, like the Matrix Cube issue, but the test is an important part of our process, as is correcting issues as quickly as possible when they reach the live servers. We're always working on improving our testing process internally and on the PTS, and we'll be happy to hear constructive feedback about it. I like the idea of knowing that they're doing internal testing. But quite honestly, unless they have people go over there that are normal players. I think they may be missing some items. What do you think?
I agree. I don't know how thorough their internal testing is. So, I mean, obviously, trying to make a judgment about something I don't have very much information on. But I would imagine that anytime you put it out on the PTS, you're going to have a bigger sample to choose from. You're going to have those people who are there deliberately trying to break it so that they can put out a better product when they get to the patch. I know that one of the posts on the forums mentioned that one of the reasons they may not do this is because it does put a slight delay in the cycle. But do I care if a patch goes a week late, if it's going to go up fixed as opposed to going a week earlier broken? I'd much rather wait for the fixed version a week later. But that's me. I can wait that extra week and not have to deal with the bugs.
And see, I feel the same way. I feel that, I mean, they may have a whole little team of internal testers that all they do is play the game every day. You know, that may be all they do, and they may try to find some of the things, but I think everybody plays the game differently, you know, in a slightly different manner. There are things that I would look for in a particular game or way I play than you do. And I think that that's why I'm such a fan of putting these patches on the public test server, and is let's catch these bugs before they become live. You know, I don't want anything live coming in and haunting me, you know, and just maybe people would have caught the Matrix bug, or they would have caught the bug with SOA, you know, or some of the other little bugs that have cropped up here and there. Mm-hmm. Because I think that one of the things that is probably the most frustrating for people is the fact that there are bugs, and there are, they seem to come back. It's like bad pennies. They just seem to come back. And
yeah, they do.
You know, maybe putting it on the public test server and making it easier to access your own character on the public test server should maybe be a priority. I mean, right now, the way it is with the public test server, you either have to start over a character, or you have to have a character copied over if, you know, they do that sort of thing. I know that some of them have been done. But what concerns me about starting a character over there is that you'd have to sit there and level up a character on the public test server, and you know, are they going to wipe it and have me have to start over? Probably not, because they do want you to be at max level. But how hard would it be to have a character on everybody's account that's one of their 50s? I mean, if it's not their exact character, what about having just a prototype that's over there that's of the same class as their first 50? You know, something simple.
Yeah, I agree. And they should be copying it, because nobody wants to sit there and level something brand new on the test server from 1 to 50.
Right.
Nobody wants to do that. I don't want to do that.
No, who wants to do that?
Taking time out of my gameplay. But I don't mind having a 50 there that I can just jump on and say, okay, how is this working? This works great. This doesn't work great. I'd like to have that. I like to have that option available to me. Right. And I think it would be to their benefit to incorporate that so that everybody could have that option and have that 50 copied over, or like you said, have a prototype that they could play in and test whatever mechanic it is that they're getting ready to bring out in the patch. And I think it behooves them, the fact that they're not, you know, it's like, well, we don't want to test every little bug. I'm not saying a little mini thing that is just fixing something has to be tested, although why not? I mean, why not put it over there and let's see how it's working? Because I just don't know. I don't know if they're getting a big enough sampling with their internal because these are people who are playing the game every day. They're probably super good at it, and I'm sure they're great at finding these bugs, but I just wonder if some of these bugs don't always happen to everybody, because there are bugs like this whisper bug that's going around.
It's going to everybody, though. Oh, no, everybody got it. You at know, some point in time, so everybody got it.
But I haven't had it yet. So what if your sampling is so small that your internal people didn't have it? But now here we have all these other thousands and thousands of other people who do. So I'm just concerned that maybe their sampling isn't a large enough pool to give them an accurate reading as to whether or not something is going to work or is not going to work. And that's why I would strongly recommend to them to put more stuff up on the PTS.
Well, I hope, you know, I really hope that they would take a look at putting all their patches on the PTS. I know it's a pain in the butt, you know, but if it would save moving one bug over, it would be so worth it. Because do you know how many people are going to complain about that one bug when they find it? And exactly. I'm so tired
how
of...
How much time do they spend on that, Carla, when they're having to answer all of those emails and everything else about it and bug reports? How much extra time do they spend having to fix it? Is it not better to fix it before it gets out there? Or have to deal with all of the aftermath, not only having to fix it afterwards, but of all the people that are cranky because they didn't fix it to begin with?
Well... You know, I'm such a big BioWare fan, and I am such a big Star Wars The Old Republic fan, that I want this game to be so successful and be a game that I play for a very, very, very long time. And it kind of hurts my heart when I hear people complain about the game and get frustrated with the game. But sometimes they have legitimate concerns, and part of the concerns, or the biggest concern that I keep hearing, is they keep saying we could put up with the lack of more in-game content. You know, we can put up with, you know, maybe this not being perfect or that not being perfect, but fix the bugs.
Yeah.
Fix the bugs, you know, and it just makes common sense to put these patches on the public test server and let people test them before they get put out, so that we can get rid of the bugs before they happen, before they get live, before people have a chance to complain about them. You know, we find them, fix them, whatever. That's sort of the buzz going on with a few people anyway, and it is one of my concerns, and I hope that... the testing will keep progressing, and those bugs are found really fast. Well, that's it. We're done. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, guys, if you will take a moment to leave us a positive feedback on iTunes or Zune, we would really appreciate it. We love that positive feedback. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Zune, and you can also find us on the Ego Networks at egonetworks.com. Be sure to visit our sister site and podcast at torwars.com.
And do you happen to have a flair for writing? If you do, we are still looking for writers at CorellianRun.com. We're specifically looking for someone to write a regular column on PvP and someone to write related news articles. So if you can do that and you're interested in applying for those positions, these are not paid, obviously, but if you're interested in doing some writing for us, please feel free to contact us through our website at CorellianRun.com. You can get to us on our Twitter link and also on our Facebook link. So be sure to contact us if you are interested in writing, again, for PvP or for news-related articles. Make sure you leave your questions or ideas for discussion topics on Twitter or by voicemail. You can leave a voicemail message at 281-766-4511.
That wraps it up for us here at Corellian Run Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again next week. Until next time, I'm Carla.
And I'm Mare. May the Force be with you.
You have been listening to Corellian Run Radio, a Star Wars The Old Republic podcast. Tune in next time to hear Mayor say...
And that's my two credits. What's yours?
End transmission.